Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of Jesus, amen. We didn't have Twitter when I was back at Concordia Seward in the 1990s. If we did, news would have trended even faster. There was an occurrence that would happen every once in a while on the campus that would set the whole place ablaze. It was something that happened not infrequently in chapel. Everybody would notice. The buzz would begin to build even before the benediction was finished. And by lunchtime, the whole campus was in a frenzy. Did you hear what happened in chapel today? Rob and Amy were sharing a hymnal. It was big news. Stewards in Nebraska. This came to mind this week for me. On Thursday, it came to mind because this past week I came to chapel just a little bit late. And the sermon hymn was, or the opening hymn was already going, and I came up the side aisle. I was sitting right there, Brandon, where you're sitting, and Dr. Zyfred was sitting right next to me, and I sat down. The hymn was already going, and I reached for the hymnal, and the hymnal wasn't there in front of me, and so Dr. Zyfred very graciously and generously leaned over and shared his hymnal with me. I chuckled to myself. Of course, sharing a hymnal is a very superficial sign of unity. There was a kid at Seward who shared a hymnal with a different girl every week. But people noticed because it was a symbol. It was a symbol of a more intimate sharing. The theme for this academic year is about sharing. Sharing the gospel and sharing our lives. It's a nice theme. I really, really like this theme. And it's taken from the reading that Nick just read a couple minutes ago from 1 Thessalonians 2. We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, Paul writes, but also our own selves. The two go together, the gospel and our lives. Jesus and our very selves. But the problem is, we're not very good at sharing. We're not good at sharing our lives, and for that matter, frankly, we're not very good at sharing the gospel either. It's very easy to put a theme on a t-shirt and on a website, but to give and receive in the way that Paul is talking about in our text, well, that's a whole nother story. And so here we are, midway through the academic year. And I suppose it's time for us to do a little self-reflection. How are we doing? How are we doing with sharing the gospel and sharing our lives? Now, anytime we start thinking about sharing, we have to remember that we don't start thinking about sharing by thinking about what we share. Because sharing for us Christians begins with God. What he shares. Not only what he shares with us, but even more so, what he shares in himself. There's a lot we don't understand about the Trinity. Dorothy Sayers is right. The Father is incomprehensible. The Son is incomprehensible. The whole thing is incomprehensible. But there's one thing we can comprehend. And that is God's internal being, his essence, is a sharing It's a relating. It's a communing. The Father shares life with His Son in the power of the Spirit, eternal, divine, communal, sharing. That's God in Himself. But God is such a sharing God that His sharing spills out into His creation. He shared His breath with the man He made out of clay. He shared His image with male and female. Male and female, He made them. In His image, He made them. He shared His dominion over creation with His human creatures. Will Willimon, the theologian at Duke Divinity School, was asked one time to summarize the gospel using only 7 words. Summarize the whole story of everything. You don't even need 1,000 words. 7 words. And Willimon said, God refuses to be God without us. The sharing God refuses to be God without sharing life with us, even when we don't share it with Him. Even when we hide from Him, Adam and Eve. Even when we're unfaithful to Him, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Even when we turn our backs on Him and wander away from Him, the faithful, unfaithful people of Israel. God still refused to be God without them. He kept calling. He kept gathering. He kept speaking to them. And then Jesus, the vineyard owner, said to himself, I will share with them my Son. Surely they will receive my Son. And this sharing God shares Himself in person, exposing Himself, emptying Himself. And what do His people do? They take His sharing, they take His self-giving, they take His longing to gather them together as a hen gathers its chicks under its wings, and they kill them. The God who shares is a God who suffers at the hands of His own people. We are familiar with sharing, and we are familiar with suffering. You live in these gray and latter days too, and some days are grayer than others. The darkest days, in my experience at least, and I'm guessing you can understand and can relate, the darkest days and the most painful suffering comes from the hands of those to whom we should be closest. I'm thinking of the abusive husband. I'm thinking of the child who grows up and disowns her parents. I'm thinking of the friend who stabs you in the back. The people to whom we should be the closest are the ones who cause us the most suffering. In our text, Paul mentioned, kind of offhand toward the beginning, the shameful treatment he received in Philippi. Do you remember what happened in Philippi? It's in Acts 16. Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel as they did. They had just spoken the word to Lydia, and she and her entire household were baptized. And as they're there in Philippi, they're bothered by this slave girl who's possessed by a demon. And Paul kicks the demon out, casts the demon out of her. And do you remember what happened? The owners of that girl whipped the crowd into a frenzy, and they convinced the authorities to strip Paul and Silas bare, to beat them with rods, and then to throw them in jail. And not just in the cell on the first floor, it was the inner dungeon, the deep dark one, in stocks and in chains. And here was the kicker. It was their own people who were doing this. Fellow Roman citizens, beating them and locking them up. Their own people. Many of you are preparing for full-time work in the church. You are preparing to give yourselves to the people of God, to share your life with them. At times it's beautiful. And at times, you get burned. As lovely as that hymn is that we just sang, it only told half the story. Yes, in Him we all are one. And yet sin clings so closely to all of us. As Richard John Neuhaus put it, not infrequently, life together is mainly strife together. And then he goes on, and listen to this, so you're not surprised. There is no adequate preparation for the virulence of sheer nastiness that so often erupts in the life of the Christian community. Now, you will also cause some suffering, and not the good kind. You're just as sinful as I am. But that's not the point I'm trying to make here this morning. Right now, I want you to think about the suffering you will experience, and maybe you are right now, at the hands of those who should be the closest to you. The question is this: what are you going to do with that suffering? Paul shared it. He shared it with the Thessalonians. He shared his burdens. He shared his troubles. He shared his suffering. He shared his life, because that's what Christians do. We share our lives with one another. Whatever suffering you experience, there will be sisters and brothers who will share your suffering with you. That part the hymn nailed. You see, God refuses to be God without us, and God refuses to let us be Christian without one another. The people who will share the burden with you, they may be sitting right here in the chapel with you. Look around. I'm serious. Look around. Look around at one another. There will come a time in your ministry where the darkness is too much for you to bear alone. At such times you will get in your car and you will drive on a Saturday afternoon to a friend's house, a brother, a sister in Christ. And you will sit in the living room with your close friend, and you will vent together, and you will yell together, and you will cry together, and you will pray together, and you will mourn how broken it all is. But that's not all you'll do. It's not all you'll do. You will console one another. You will speak the promises of Jesus to one another. You will strengthen each other with the good news that the son of the vineyard owner is risen from the dead. And that incomprehensibly, he still reigns. Graciously, even in this, he still reigns. He is still Lord over all, and he is still good. You will console each other with this promise. And you will rejoice with one another as you look forward to that day when that son of the vineyard owner returns. And he judges all that is wrong and broken and sin, and he rids the world of darkness and sin. And he brings about perfect unity and perfect peace and complete joy. We have a name for this. Small called Articles 3.4. It's the mutual conversation and consolation of the brothers and the sisters. It is the means of the gospel that we need most regularly, but that we name far too seldomly. To share our lives is to share the gospel with one another as we share our suffering. But we don't only share our suffering. We also share a calling. You know, Paul says in verse 12, how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. We share, you and I, a calling to walk in a manner that is worthy of God. And what does that look like? Well, we could spend all day on that, but I've got class at 10:25. So for now, we'll just stick with what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. How do we walk as Christians? We are gentle with one another. We conduct ourselves in ways that are holy and righteous and blameless. We increase and abound in love for one another and for all. We keep awake and we stay sober. We encourage one another and we build each other up. We help the weak. We abstain from every kind of evil. We pray without ceasing. We give thanks in all circumstances. We test everything, and we hold fast to what is good. Incredibly, God still refuses to be God without us. And he refuses to let us be Christian without one another. So, according to my office as preacher of the word and following Paul's lead in this text, I charge you all this morning, in the name of Jesus, walk in a manner that is worthy of God. Share your lives with one another by sharing your burdens with each other. Share the promise of Jesus with one another and with all. Or share the gospel. Share your lives. For God has shared his life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.